but the objective is to love as Christ loved. It's worded a lot of different ways. It's worded, put on the thinking of Christ in Philippians chapter 2, renewing of the mind in Romans chapter 12 that we looked at over the holidays. A lot of different ways of wording it. What we're doing is to love as He loved. And we have now moved in the study of this love. First, we're commanded that it's loved, and we saw the freedom, the cause, the means, cause of the Holy Spirit, means faith, consciousness. What we're looking at now is our last subject matter in regard to spiritual love before we start really looking at spiritual love, and that is looking at the person. And this is very important, the person of spiritual love. And this is very important because it's very dangerous to think of love in an abstract concept. It's just what love is or is not. Love is known in a person. And that saves us a lot of trying to stuff what the Christian life ought to be like. Or a lot of times we relate this to ladies, they'll marry somebody and they've got this man in knight in shining armor in view and all the way that it ought to be, and it doesn't work out that way. It's this abstract concept, and we're going to put this abstract concept into a person. No, what we want to do is we want to understand that love is known, and it is known in a person. And so we took up some points on the introduction of that. Now what we're looking at is the first person in whom this love is known. And this love is known, spiritual love is known in the being of God. So love is known in God. And the reason for this, as we've already studied under point one here, and this is where we left off last year, way back in early December, I guess was our last travel here. So love is known in a person and not divorced from a person. You get into trouble when you think of love divorced from God or divorced from a person. And then it's just an abstract concept that you're going to try to make fit into the human realm. So let's start with understanding love is known in a person, and first person that love is known in is love is known in God. And the reason for that is that God is love. This is what God is declared to be. So therefore, the first thing we're going to come into a knowing of God is in God. God does not choose to love or to express His love. God is love. He does not choose to be this. This is what He is. And we noted in closing that last lesson, 1 John 4:8. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Then we looked at 1 John 4:16, and we come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Now we're going to come back there when we get to John chapter 15, because it says abide in me, abide in my love. And here we abide in God, we abide in God's love. Here again we're seeing different but the same, God the Father and Jesus Christ. Now let's look at another passage tonight, beginning our getting into this again. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians 3. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3 in this study. So we're looking at the concept that love is known in a person. Love is known, first of all, in God. When you want to understand love, you start with God. Love is known in God, for God is love. And we looked at the two passages in 1 John. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Finally. I always like it when writers of scriptures do that, because I'll do that, and then Jerry stands back there for another 10 minutes. Well, finally. What does finally mean? Well, finally means I still got about 15 verses to go. So he says, finally in verse 11, chapter 13, finally, brethren, rejoice. Don't rejoice because I'm almost through. That's not the point of the rejoicing. Oh, I thought that was funny. Anyway, let's see that is. I saw a grin. Okay. Finally, brethren, rejoice. Be made complete. Be comforted. Be like-minded. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. How's it going tonight, man? Very good to see you. Good to see you, guys. All right. Yeah, we don't recognize you. You're not in your uniform tonight. Yeah, you got civilian clothes. Okay. We're in 2 Corinthians 13. What we're doing on Tuesday night, Gary, is we're looking at studying to love as Christ loved. We have a new commandment, and the new commandment is that we love one another as Jesus Christ loved us. And we've gone through a lot of points here. You might want to pick up some of them, okay, but we studied how, if that's the new commandment, then we study the freedom to love. You must be free to love. And the only people free to love are those that who are in Christ. And then we noted a very important point is the cause of this love. If the new commandment, if we are commanded, or since we are commanded, because indeed we are, since we are commanded to love, and we are commanded to love one another, other believers, as Jesus Christ loved you. Okay, now this becomes very important. It's different than the law, which says to love one another as you love yourself. This says to love one another as you love, as Jesus Christ loved you in John 13:34 and 35. Now, we saw the cause. What is the cause of this love? Because we can't love as Christ loved. The cause of this love is God the Holy Spirit. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. So it's he's the cause of it. Now, then we looked under the means. Okay, if he's the cause, how do I tap into that love? How do I get the love? How do I have him pour that love in and through me? And the means of this love is faith. Faith in the Holy Spirit allows the Holy Spirit to do his work. Then we looked at the consciousness of this love, consciousness of spiritual love, how we participate in this. And now we're looking at the person of this love that we are commanded, to love one another as I have loved you, the person. And what we're seeing here is that love should not be divorced from a person. You don't. It's very dangerous for Christians to have, or anybody, to have an abstract ideal about love and then try to force that on other people. We need to understand love in a person. And now what we're seeing is the first person that we see love in is love is known in God, for God is love. And that brings you right up to where we are very quickly. So God is love, and we looked at 1 John 4:8. We looked at 1 John 4:16, which declare God is love. we're reading now 2 Corinthians 13:11. This makes the same statement for us. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded. Now, like-minded, a lot of times somebody takes that and wants to control everybody. If you all have to think the same doctrine and think the same way and all this type of thing. Like-minded is having that mind of Christ, which is what? To lay down his life for us. Therefore, we ought to lay down our life. So the like-mindedness is a mind of faith. That like-thinking is a thinking of faith. Live in peace with one another. We'll do that if we think the same as he did. And then it says, and the God of love. So this refers to the concept of God. God of love and peace shall be with you. Now, while we're here, note in 2 Corinthians 13, note verse 14 with me. 2 Corinthians 13, note verse 14. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. Isn't that kind of interesting? Because our new commandment is to love one another as I have loved you. But here it says the love of God. And we know the reason, because even the love that Jesus Christ has is from the Holy Spirit, from God, and therefore it's God's love. So the grace of Jesus Christ, and that's beautiful because he gave himself for us. We did not earn or deserve that. The love of God. And then how do I tap into all of that? And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Okay. Now, let's go to point two. Let's go to point two. Now, so you see where we are. We're under Roman numeral 6, the person of love, of this love. Under A, love is known in the person. B, love is known in God. And point one, first of all, love is known in God, for God is love. Now point two, under the fact that love is known in God. So point one, love is known in God, for God is love. Now we're ready for point two. Okay, point two. Not only must we start with God, because God is love, but there's another very important fundamental reason for starting with God. Love is from God. So we start with knowing love and understanding what this love is going to be like. We must start know love in a person. The first person we must know is God. Why? Because God is love. And now, secondly, because, why must we start here? Because, I'll put it like this for you, because, here, because love, and this is spiritual love, because the love that we are commanded in the new commandment is from God. It's from God. It comes out from God. So if we want to know love, we're going to know love in a person, we're going to know this love in God. God is love, and love is from God. Please look with me, write down, and then look with me. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Okay? Everybody found that now? Okay, we're getting there. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another. There's the goal again. For love is from God. So, if a person says, I'm with God and I'm no God and all this type of thing, that's why the whole momentum, the entire momentum of 1 John is about love. You claim you know God, okay then, God is love, do you love as God loves? So, verse 7, beloved, and this is just beautiful, beloved, let us love one another. This is our goal, our objective. That's what I showed you in the new commandment. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. There's the goal. And here you have it again. Let us love one another all the way through. For love is from God. If you're going to love, you will want to know the source of love. Love, we are commanded from the source of God and only from God. This is not a love from man. This is not a love from the law. It's not a love from my being. This is a love from God. And everyone who loves is born of God. Is born of God and knows God. Okay. If you look in, let's see, we're at verse 7, and then it just flows into verse 8, which we read beginning tonight. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So you put the two verses together. So if we desire to love as God desires us to love, one, we're born of God, and two, we know God. And the way we know God is through His Holy Spirit. So what's one of the strong ways of knowing whether or not a person's walking in the Spirit? Do we love as God loves? And that's why I keep telling you over and over how you deal with other believers under any circumstance in your relationship with them, whether they've sinned, whether they have failed, whether they're doing good, whether everything's going great, whatever. And you're claiming you're in the Spirit, and you're claiming this is what God would have you to do. That could be of God. This is what I believe God would do to you or with you in this respect, is what we have right here in the study. This is how God loves. So we have the two verses together. We have verse 7 and 8 rolling together. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God, so we have to be born of God. That gets back to point two, Roman numeral two, freedom to love. We have to be of God to love as God loves, and knows God. Verse 8, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So if a person says, I'm of God, and then they start living by law and preaching by law and all of this type of thing, then you know one thing about them. Hey there, John. You know one thing about them. What do we know? We know that they're not walking in the Spirit. And at that point in your life, people, you don't know Him. You may think you know Him, but you don't know Him. You don't know Him. What you're doing is you are now acting according to the God that you do think you know, which is generally the God of law. So this becomes very, very important. All right, that brings us to point three. All right, where we are, John, we're looking at the commandments of love. We're looking at the person of this love. And we noted that spiritual love is known in God. He's the person, the first person. Why do we start with Him? Because God is love. And we looked at passages in the, like 1 John 4:8, 1 John 4:16, 2 Corinthians 13:11, which deal with the fact that God is love. That God is love. Now, the second reason we start with God is so important in our thinking. We start with God because love is from God. God is love, and love is from God. So if we're going to understand this love and comprehend it and live in it and abide in it, then we're going to have to know it in the person of God. Don't ever try to know love out of a person. That's very dangerous, and Christians do it all the time. You get an abstract concept of love and then force it. No, love is known in a person. It's known in God first. Why? Because God is love. Secondly, because love is from God. Now, that brings us to point three in our study under this, under the person of love is God. Point three, God is love. What does God's love look like? What does God's love look like then at various times? Can we do that? Now, we don't know what it's going to look like at every point, but we can get an idea. What does God's love look like? And this is very important. Now, why do I word it this way? I word it this way because what have we seen? And I think just so self-understanding now, and we've well documented it. Love is not defined. We can't define love. The Bible does not define love. That's the way scholars like, and people, we like to start with definitions. And I think we all do. It's just, okay, let's get an understanding of what we're talking about and get a definition down. And that's why I said you can't do that with love, because if you try to find this abstract definition and then start climbing it somewhere, it isn't going to work. And then what have we seen? The Bible does not define love. The Bible describes love. We, 1 John 3:16, we know love by this, that He laid down His life. So now I know what love looks like there. Now, under point three, the person of God, what does God's love look like then? See, this is He's taking the place. Point three takes the place of, give me a definition of God's love. I can't give you a definition of God's love. Point three, academically, would be, define God's love. And we can't. Love is not defined in Scripture. So instead of what is the definition, what does it look like then? What does your love look like? By the way, just a side point on this. Non-academic. This is academic. Let's make it non-academic. What does your love look like with your husband, wife, family, friends, church, work, social life? Because it doesn't matter. You sit down in some big theological discussion. Well, this is what I think love is. And then go out and mistreat somebody or deal with them in law or deal with them some way. I don't care about the theology. This is one of those subjects, you know, it's like the song in My Fair Lady. Don't talk about love, show me. Don't give me all this, don't show me. And this is what we're talking about. What does your love look like? Not the way you think about it when you're writing an essay paper or you're trying to look impressive to other people and going to tell them what you know about the Bible. So I'm going to tell you what love is. No, this is the way we know love. What does it look like? So this is effective in our own individual life. Okay, what does God's love look like? Love is known in a person. What does this person's love look like? Since we know that God is love, let's begin to get an idea of what God's love looks like. All right, let me give you a little principle. Love is not whatever you want it to be. And this comes from our experience in life. A lot of people, well, this is just the way I love. And if you don't like it, tough. No, we don't get away with that. We don't get away with that here. But that's the way a lot of people think. This is the way I love. She knows I love her. I don't have to tell her. Well, let's find out. Does God tell us he loves us? A lot of people, well, I just don't tell people I love them. Well, that sounds very macho. Let's find out if it lines up with God. Let's find out, does God tell us he loves us? And what does his love look like? So love is not whatever we want it to be to serve our purpose. Secondly, little principle, love will make greater demands on your life and from your life. This is what we're going to see here, is the love of God costs God. The love of God costs God. And let's start out, and I am going to ask you to turn here because I know that you know the passage, but I want to do a little hunting here. So John 3:16. John chapter 3, verse 16. Well familiar to, I guess, every one of us. But let's just spend a little time here now on this in our journey of spiritual love. How could we study spiritual love and especially the love of God without coming to this passage then? It is a nice way to put it. So let's find out now some things about it. Now reading from the New American Standard. For God, so there's our subject now. This is what the person we're going to study, and I think I said a month ago when we first started here, I'm not going to get into a theological discussion of whether God is a person. Some people like to argue in seminary and theology and intellectuals. Intellectuals love to get off on other stuff and distract from the whole momentum. As long as we understand we're talking about a living creature, a living being, here is the main point of this right now. So if that offends you, then just say, love is known in a living, actual living being, God. But here we have the person of God. For God. Now, so love. Okay, there's what we're studying. God's love. Now let's take a look. He so loved the world. Well, we might just stop right there and say, well, anybody could love the world, that's not much. That's not much about their love. Well, it is a great deal about their world, their love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Okay, point one. Kind of sub-point one under the rolling point three. First thing I want to look at here is the direction. The first thing I want to look at is the direction of his love. So let's go over here, and we're looking at, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, I want to concentrate a little bit on the direction. Let's talk about the direction of his love, the direction of God's love. And we have noted before how important the direction of love is. Direction is very important, isn't it? If you, people dating someone or even married, I love you, and then tomorrow night they say to somebody else, I love you, and somebody else says, then we begin to see, wait a minute, they have a multi-directional love in a category of love. We don't want it to be multi-directional. But I've made the point there to show you direction is very important to us. Very important to us. So here we're going to look at the direction, and here we're going to learn about the direction of God's love. God so loved the world. Now, that is his enemy. So he loves, he so loves, and he so loves the world. The direction of his love is toward the world. And the world refers to his enemies. Enemies. All right? So let's take a look now and talk about, just for a moment, the enemies. Jerry, could I just ask you to, up at the front, some pens. I left them all up front from New Year's Eve. And I appreciate it. They're on the front row seats there. I appreciate that. Okay, the direction is his enemies. And while that is correct, what I want to do is take a closer look at what we're saying now coming off of our Christmas study. Yes, the world does refer to his enemies. But let's take a little closer look in this study, the study of love. So let's note something here that's important for our study. The world is also his what? His creation, isn't it? So let's think for a moment. Yeah, let's all talk about how the world is his enemy. The world is filled with all those horrible sinners. Of course, not me. All those horrible sinners. All those wretched people. And God loves his enemies. And that's the big thing. Okay, but yes, it's his enemies. But let's know something else in this walk tonight. It's also his creation. He loves his creation. His creation. There is a prior relationship between the world and God. God created the world, and at one time, the world was in harmony with God. Now, this should start bouncing for us from our study on New Year's Eve and Sunday, and that deals with going back and what was man like. Let's take man, because we're dealing with mankind when we talk about the world. We're not talking about necessarily the physical earth. We're talking about the inhabitants, man. Okay? Man was originally created, his man originally was created, how was man created? In his image. Okay, so man was created in his own image. Now let's take a look at what we've got going on. Here is the direction of God's love. It's toward the world. Oh, the world is his enemies, and let's really talk about that. Let's also make note, it's also his creation. And at one time, man, his creation, was created in his own image. And what we're going to see in this whole love journey, just pulling it together now, our study this week, this whole love journey is going to restore man, and it's going to restore man not only to with God, but it's going to restore man to his original image. In other words, as we saw in our study, New Year's Eve, as we are transformed into the image of Christ, people, not only do we get a glimpse of Christ, we get a glimpse of what man looked like in the original creation. This is the thing, these are the things going on. And what was there in that? There was a wonderful harmony, wasn't there, between God and his creation. A wonderful harmony. And we're going to, as we're transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, the man, isn't it interesting? The man, Christ, we're going to be in the Christ, and therefore, like what? The original Adam. We're going to go just right back to this whole original state. I heard the funniest thing today. Leslie and Jerry giving me some old radio tapes, certain type of series, but Perfect Eve. Perfect Eve. It was Mae West. Mae West was playing Eve, and I forgot who the guy was, as Adam in the garden. And it was a hoot. It was a real hoot. And it just sort of, you know, okay, maybe so. And but it was really, really a good routine in the 4:30s. But this is where we're going to go back to, is this original state. And this is what God loves now. He looks at the world, and see, when a lot of Christians look at sinners, other Christians who sin, oh, they see bad, they see impure, they see, look what God sees. Even when we were unbelievers, that wasn't his attitude. What's God's love like? He came to darkness and said, let there be light. That's what John 3:16 is another way of wording Genesis 1:3. This is Genesis 1:3 and another way of reading. Let there be light. Let there be my son. Let there be a way out. This is what kind of God he is, people. What he sees and what Christians see. What Christians see when they see another Christian, oh, they see everything horrible. What God sees is, here's my original creation, and I'm going to restore it. This is what God does. This is what kind of God you have, people. This is what he does. So let's take a look now. His direction. Man in harmony. Then the world became his enemy, yes. Then the world went into sin, yes. But God did not stop loving people. Now, again, we're going to learn something about love. Well, yeah, he loved, but, you know, walk away from it. No, his kind of love, and this is what I'm saying, what we're doing is looking at the way God loved. What does his love look like? See, a lot of people say, I love you, but boom, I'm gone. I'm out of here. No, God's love says, I love you. I'm going to do whatever it takes to restore, to bring you back to Genesis 1. And what it's going to take is, the rest of this verse, it's going to have to offer his son. That's what it's going to take. Love is going to cost. Reconciliation is going to cost. Man might say, somebody might say, look at this, this isn't worth it. Being restored to those bunch of losers is not worth my precious son. And that's the way law thinks. That's the way a lot of Christians think. That's the way, and the world can understand that kind of thinking. This kind of thinking the world can understand. That you would go to that much trouble to offer your own son for people who shunned you in the first place. That's his love. Love is known in God. What does God's love look like? So God did not stop loving. See, we are in a relationship now with God. And people, when we come to loving one another, this is how you and I love one another. When you see another believer, now whether they're in the fruit of the Spirit or not is not my point here, but we love one another in the same concept. We all have this relationship with God, and now as believers in Christ, we all are members of the same body. The same body. And yet Christians, even with Christians, don't have this kind of love, much less with the world. But here's the way God loves, and here's what his love looks like. We are in relationship with one another by being in Christ. Therefore, when one believer becomes the enemy, what does love do? Yes, it breaks fellowship. Not a denial of that. What does love do? Love will do whatever is necessary to bring man back into the original. That's the whole thing. That's why understanding Genesis 1, chapter 1, is so important to understanding the whole thing of the Bible, your view of God, everything. Correctly understanding what God is doing, which we touched upon, merely touched upon, in our study over the new years. So what do we learn about the direction of God's love? He loves his own creation, even when they sinned, even when they were his enemies. Therefore, he loved those hostile to him. He loved those hostile. That's what we learn about the direction of God's love. Now, does that mean that he does not love those walking in the Spirit? Of course not. But that's easy. That's assumed. What we have to go is to the most difficult. To love those who have sinned, become your enemy, and change their form, and you're going to do everything you can, and it's going to cost you your son here, God, to bring them back into this original creation, which means what? This original relationship that you have. See, people, that's what restoration is. What reconciliation and restoration is, getting back to that relationship. Husband and wife are going along, they have a problem. Okay, they divide. Now, let's restore. Let's reconcile. Okay, let's get this back into where we're one so we can get on with the purpose. Let me get you back to the way I had you. In fact, it'll even be better than that, but we're just taking the play of what we're doing in Scripture. Let me bring you back to what you look like. Let's go back to that wonderful relationship. Well, we are in harmony with one another, and I will do whatever it takes to bring that about. Now, point two, the next thing we learn about, God's love is that his love will do whatever it takes to reconcile. whatever it takes to restore. Okay, again, most Christians claim a love that remains while it severs a relationship, while it judges, while it slanders, while it hates, while it does all of this stuff. Well, that's why we look at 1 John. If you hate a brother, angry at a brother, have these attitudes toward a brother, you're not in love. You're not in his love. You're not in God. What does God's love look like? When somebody's in sin, what does God's love look like? I'll do whatever it takes to restore. That's what his love looks like. You may want to justify your love, or justify your actions and call it love. But people, I hope you're beginning to see why I'm saying it's so important to know love in a person. Is this communicated? To know it in a person. Not to say, okay, I love you and I can treat you like this. No, let's know love in the person of God. And how does God's love handle that situation? You see what I'm trying to say here? Is it communicating? Okay. Because this is crucial. This is going to cut us off from saying, I love you, but I'm going to slam dunk you. I love you, but I could hate you or be angry or separate or do all this stuff with you. Okay, wait a minute. What does this love look like in God that we're supposed to have? God is love. Love is from God that we're supposed to have. What does his love look like in this circumstance? This is what his love looks like. I will give my son. I will do whatever it takes to bring about reconciliation. This is crucial. So, what does his love look like? Is the way that we love the way that God loves? People, hear me. Is the way we love line up with what we think about love? That's not what I'm saying. Is the way that we love, does it line up with the way God loves? Do you see there's a little difference there? Because I can say, I am acting according to my understanding of love. But that's not the point. That's not the point. The point is, love is known in a person. That person is God. Does my love line up with what? With God's love. With the way that God's love looks like. So this is what we're looking at in this point. So love is known in a person. But not from love of the way most Christians do. That isn't the person we want to look at. The first person we want to look at is God. And what do we learn about his love? God's love is a love that will do whatever it takes to restore, boom, 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 back to harmony, back to this relationship. We get very weary. We get very disgruntled. We get very angry. We get very tired. And we faint, to use a Hebrew word. We say, it just isn't worth it. It just is not worth it. All of this work. Okay, what is love? First thing we're going to find out about love, love is long-suffering. Why is it long-suffering? Because some people are difficult to love. Let's take a look at the Old Testament. How many centuries did God try to get Israel back, and they just wouldn't come back? But he kept loving century after century after century. Kept loving and still loves. And still is going to present himself to them. So, yes, we may get tired in the human realm, but if you want your love to look like his love, what does his love look like? This is what his love looks like. Point three. This brings us now, we've looked at the direction. This brings us now to the magnitude. To the magnitude of God's love. We've noted the direction of God's love. Now, the magnitude of God's love. And here we learn something very important about the magnitude of love. And this is where most Christians really fall short as far as understanding love. What is the magnitude of your love? There are different words for magnitude. What is the immensity of it? The enormity of your love. In other words, let's make it very personal. How much will your love give to restore with someone who has really offended you? Let's make it very personal. How much will your love give, do, to be restored with someone who has really hurt you or offended you? Okay, what do we have in our passage? That he gave his only begotten son. That's how much this person, we're looking at one person's love. And we might say, if we were doing this in the human realm, well, that's the way that person, I don't love that way. That's what, no, we're looking at God here. We're learning about love from God. We're not learning about love from a human being. We're learning about love from the source of love. For God is love, and God is the source of love. We study passages on both of those. So now, what is the magnitude of his love? Magnitude means measure. So can something be measured? That's the magnitude of it. Magnitude, we understand in the physical realm, magnitude is your weight. What is the magnitude of your weight? I get through eating some ice cream, the magnitude goes up. Okay? So magnitude is the weight. How big? The mass. Okay. Now we're looking at the magnitude of love. What is the magnitude of God's love? For that he gave his only begotten son. So the magnitude of God's love is that he will offer up, sacrifice, humiliate, shame, a lot of words we can put in here, his own son, who is, by the way, also the object of his love. Remember that. And that's very important. Let me talk about that. The magnitude of his love, we're talking about the love toward the world. He is going to offer up the object of his love for the world. Now, let me talk with you. The greater something costs you, the more something costs you, the more you're going to be aware of what's going on. The more it's going to be a test of love. We're going to study crisis of love later. People, the more something costs you, the greater the test. Somebody says, if he just hadn't taken my child. Had he taken anything else, people? And I'm just going to say, we're dealing with this in a classroom discussion here. If God had taken anything else, it would not have been the test that it was to take that person's child with it. That was it. The very fact I would say, if he just hadn't taken my child, he could have taken my money, he could have taken my health, he could have taken a lot of stuff, but that's the only, within everything else would not have been the test that that is. It would have been a test, but not the test that that would have been. Does that make sense to you, what I'm saying here? Because it's very important. So when we find ourselves saying, boy, this is just too much, well, that's the severity of the test. If it didn't hurt, it wouldn't be the depth of the test. And when you reach that point, well, it just couldn't have been anything else but this. He could have done anything else, but he did this. Now you're in your test. Of maybe faith, love, whatever it is you're talking about. I'm making my point here. He had to give. What God did, he gave for his love toward, the direction toward the world, his enemy. He gave up the greatest object of shame and humiliation. He gave up the greatest object of his love, his own son. That's why I call this the magnitude of God's love. So that you and I would learn. He did this so that you and I would learn the cost to love as he loved. And we're not ready to do this until we pass the crisis of faith as we get through it and see. But I'm just right now getting a look at what does God's love look like, and we're looking now at the magnitude. How big is his love? What's the depth of his love? His love is that he will get give up and offer up the sacrifice and shame and humiliation, the greatest object of his love, his own son. If that's what it's going to take to reconcile and bring the world back to its original creation state, bring us back into that harmony with God, reconcile us back with God. See, people, and I don't, and I have any personal thing here in mind. I'm talking about a concept, so don't get into a personal thing in your mind with me, both here and tape, people on tape. Many times people get a divorce because they have just reached the point, I don't want to be reconciled, and what it would cost would be too much. I'm just not going to. I'm not going to go back to that. I'm not going to do this. I'm not, just not going to. Okay, here you have the maximum. God could have said, okay, I do love the world, and I do love this creation of mine, but the only way that they're going to be reconciled with me is to give, for me to give up my most precious value, my son. I'm not going to do that. It's just too much for this lousy creation called mankind. Let me ask you a question. Could God have just dumped us all and started all over and created another creation? We'll call it human being or whatever. Could he have done that? Yeah. He did not have to do this. God could have just said, well, okay, my cost, if I want to reconcile them to me, is my son. That's too much. I'm God. I'll just blank all of this out and start all over with something else. Have done that. But his love would not permit him. His love said, no, I love this creation. And even though they're my enemies, I still love them. Sometimes in my life as a minister, I've had to talk with ladies, and I'll use them in this illustration, I guess, because that's most of the times where it is. And sometimes ladies have loved, you're married to somebody and still love somebody that we would all agree is just a scoundrel. I mean, why would you love such a jerk? Why would you love this guy? This guy has zero value. And you sit and talk with it. I love him. I truly love this person. And we just sit there, you know, we need to get in your head and examine you. We would do that with God. Why would you love this creation? They are pitiful. I'm talking about you and myself. They are pitiful. Compared to you and what you are, why do you even care if they love you? Why would you even care that that scoundrel would even love you? That's the way his love is. We're learning about love from a person. A person is God. So we're looking, remember, we're looking at God's love to do what? To learn about love. His love that will offer up the most precious to be reconciled with an enemy. That's what his love will do. So we have to understand love, and I'm sorry, of all the people on earth that should understand love as Christians, because we have been saved by it. But yet I think if we talk, most people that are most confused on love is Christians. I'm talking about love in their marriage, I'm talking about love in their family, and I'm talking about love between them and God. Their love is conditional. They think, well, God's love is conditional. You earn it. If you're real bad, he doesn't, da-da-da-da. And they have a faulty ideas of what love is. Well, you can love somebody and just, you know, God can really love us and just dump us all. Well, if that's the way kind of love you think, well, fine. I like to word this way to be very, you know, very sarcastic. God says, I really love you, and I'm really sorry you're going to hell, and I really love you, but nothing I can do about it. Well, take your love and shove it. I don't need that kind of love when I'm damned eternally. Now, here's a guy who comes along and says, I'm sorry you're on your way there, and I love you, and my love will do something about it. Now, that's a love you can respond to. That's a love that you can grab hold of. And that's the love that we are to imitate in our lives. So magnitude is vital to your love, people. It tells you a lot about love. And this is where long-suffering and a lot of those things we're going to study about love come into play in dealing with the magnitude of love. Okay, let me just check one thing on this mix, if you don't mind. Okay, we'll stop here and resume at this point, at point four, next Tuesday night. Any questions? Because this is, we're at a crucial point of understanding love here. When we talk about knowing love in the person of God, and then we start looking at that love, what that love really looks like, and what this means. You know, we got some more things to do with John 3:16 that are going to, I hope, will kind of shake you a little bit. Things I haven't seen in that, and I've seen that verse since I was about 7 years old, people. And just now, still seeing more and more in it. And we're learning to understand what love looks like in a person. The person is God, and we've looked at the direction of his love and the magnitude of his love. Now we'll go to the next, some more stuff next Tuesday night. But at this stage, if you have any questions in this kind of thing, let's talk about them. How does this come across then in reality? How does this come across in my life, my husband, my wife, my friends, work, life, social, family, and church, of course? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. What a phenomenal journey your Spirit has taken us on this evening, Father, and the passages that we've looked at, they have kept us right on course with you. Who and what you are. You are love, and you are the source of love. And we're examining what your love looks like, what that love will look like in us. And Father, right now, where we are, though a little bit overwhelmed with the demands of love, we can also humbly add, we're very thankful that you are this kind of love. Wow, it seems a little strange and impossible for me to love this way. We are so thankful that you do love this way. And to begin to comprehend that this is the same love wherewith we can love one another, we allow your Spirit to pour it in us. It's a really sobering thought right now. Something we really have to think through in our minds. So we could love this way. Abraham got there. So can we. Because you're this kind of God. And we praise you, Father. For the love that you are. The love you've given to us. And Father, the love that you will allow your Spirit to pour in us. We aspire to this. This and Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen.